Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board. I just want to take a moment to introduce, it's not really introduced, y'all know them, but Bill and Gail Baxter, part of our leadership team here at Life Church, are bringing the word this morning. So prepare yourselves to be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Abba, Father.
Matter of fact, let's just call out again.
Abba, Father.
To be here, we are encouraged to hear that word about God being awesome.
Amen.
Good morning. Good morning.
Amen.
And so today we're encouraged to hear about how God wants to give us good things. Do we believe that he wants to give us good things?
Amen.
He's all about that. He's our Father and he wants to do that. He wants to give us good things. So we need to hear about how he would like to do that. So our sermon today is about asking, seeking, and knocking. I'm going to read first out of Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So we will move forward and talk about how our Father provides good gifts. This is our message. You know, initially in reading the scripture that we just previously went through, we thought that Jesus was just teaching about an ascending scale of perseverance in prayer and persistent prayer. But we realized that that's not exactly the case. I'm convinced that Jesus was teaching his disciples the many ways in which they could experience the goodness of God as they embarked on their mission. Remember, Jesus is preparing to send his disciples out into the world for them to practice and to teach others to obey God's commands. The main idea from this passage is Jesus is teaching the disciples to ask, seek, and knock. Why? Because our Father wants to give us good gifts. Amen. Let's discover what that means. In reading Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11, we can see that Jesus is now encouraging us as disciples to understand three distinct and independent imperatives for experiencing the awesomeness of our Father: asking, seeking, and knocking. As disciples, many of us should become excited because of the promises also each imperative mentioned: receiving, finding, and doors opening. But ultimately, what should be inferred from this scripture is that our Father will provide all good things. Let's begin the search of the scripture by breaking it down into bite-sized pieces. The first and distinct practical application that they were taught, the disciples, was to ask and it will be given to you. And conditional with that practice of the prayer is the promise: for everyone who asks receives. Asking God for the things that we want and need is an imperative of persistent prayer. We as Christians should be confident that through persistent asking and prayer that we are demonstrating our absolute dependence and confidence that we will receive what we asked for, contained in the model of prayer that Jesus taught. Let's begin by doing a quick recap of what Jesus has already taught his disciples. I'm going to read out of Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 6 through 13.
But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Then this is how you should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Notice in verse 11, it says, give us today our daily bread. This is the first category of request that Jesus taught the disciples to ask the Father. Understanding that in those days, daily bread most likely included money, harvest, food, shelter, clothing, life, health, rain. Requests such as these. Think about it. As disciples of today, what would be some of your daily needs? We might need, as disciples, money, cars, transportation, education, training, health, shelter, food, clothing. The second category that he taught in his model of prayer was that we should ask persistently for our spiritual needs also. Notice in verse 12 through 13, in 12 it says, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As disciples, we will need his wisdom, his knowledge, his understanding, and his strength to overcome. And of course, the ultimate gift to ask for is the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's own divine nature. Amen. Now, Jesus further teaches that these things are the things that we're dependent on for him, and we should not worry about them because the Father would provide us the good things. We'll read Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. I can almost see the disciples sitting together whistling the tune, "Don't worry, be happy." Again, Jesus is assuring the disciples that the Father would provide for them every good thing that they would need. He was also teaching to remain focused on the kingdom and not to worry.
Amen.
Again, Jesus is saying, don't worry. He's not saying, don't ask. The final point I need to make it is here. Remember, asking of God is about receiving. Receiving from him what you ask for. In fact, James teaches about asking and receiving. In the book of James, we read verses chapter 1, verses 2 to 8. James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do."
Let's just stop right there for a minute and look at that scripture. It's an important scripture because in it contains the things that we can ask for.
Amen.
Things like perseverance, things like maturity. Lord, help us to be complete in all that we need. Lord, give us wisdom. His promise to us is that if we ask for it, he would give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to us, without finding fault. You know what that means? That means that he is going to continue to give to you wisdom until you get it. He's not looking to fault you. He's looking to teach you. He's looking to prosper you. He's looking to give you these good things. And so we need to ready our heart. We need to look at ourselves, look at our lives, and recognize, is my Father, ask this question, is my Father giving me the good thing right here, right now? Because if we don't see him giving it, it's going to be hard to consider it a pure joy. See, if we think it's the devil, we're going to run. But if we think and recognize that it is God, it changes us. Now we can stand because it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So now I'm going to share a bit about how the disciples were taught to see God's goodness, his goodness. He teaches, seek and you will find, and the promise is the one who seeks finds. First of all, just to clarify, seeking is not the same as asking here. Remember, seeking involves things that one would find, where asking is particular to receiving. As a disciple, here are some examples you may need to seek. Wise counsel, bettering your relationship with others, seeking after a good spouse, medical care, purchasing a home.
Amen.
Let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's just stop there for a minute. One of the points that we wanted to make in this is really important, is as we think about this thing, these things that we've mentioned, perseverance, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. These are the things in life that don't rot and they don't rust. These are the things that God has been teaching us to store these things up. Put these things in your heart and in your mind.
Amen.
Store them up there, because that's where, if your heart is in there, that's where your treasures are, right in there. These are the things, seeking after them. We need to find them. He's promising us that we would find him.
Amen. Now we're going to do another Proverbs verse. Proverbs 18, verse 22. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. 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 Seeking after wise counsel may be inclusive of reading your Bible, particularly the books of Proverbs and Psalms. As it pertains to finding a good wife, I think I know there's a few disciples in this church who have found good wives. Amen.
Amen.
Including my husband. All right?
Amen.
All right now.
Amen. Amen.
Can all you married disciples say amen? Amen. 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 I just want to share a bit briefly about something that I sought after. Just giving a little brief background from my own family. My dad was married prior to, he had two families. My family is comprised of myself, just me, I was the only child. But my dad was married before, and so there were other children. And I actually didn't know that I had a sister until my dad got sick. That was about 1981. And I didn't know about her. I didn't know she was present. I didn't even know she was in the city of Boston. But after my dad had gotten sick, he had a stroke. It was 81. And he was in intensive care. And somehow, some way, she found out that he was actually sick. And we contacted each other. She contacted me. And we got together based on that. However, there was a lot of negativity. She was very angry. She had a lot of anger because my dad abruptly somehow had to leave them and Jamaica at the time, and he ended up coming to the United States. Apparently, so there was some precipitous thing that caused him to leave, and he actually ended up getting divorced from his first wife. Okay, so that's some of the background. So while we're dealing with my dad, some issues that came out were that she had been very angry that he left, and she grew up without him. And that was some of the issues. And I realized that, you know, I really wanted to seek relationship with her. We've got maybe 15 years between us. And I said, you know, this is something that I want to do. I want to seek a relationship with my sister. She's my sister. And I mean, I looked at her face. She came to the door one afternoon to talk to me because I wanted her to come to my home. And she came to the door and she's like, I really don't have a lot to talk to you about. I said, yes, you do, because we're talking about our dad. And I'm looking at her face. I'm like, oh my God, she looks just like my father. I mean, she's like a spitting image, like she came out of his left ear. So I'm like, yeah, we are going to talk about my dad because you look just like him. We have to talk about him. And so we had some brief conversation. But she wasn't as willing as I was to continue the relationship. I was willing, and I sought after that. And over a period of years, we kind of like bounced in and out of touch and base with each other. And she lived right in Boston. She doesn't live too far. And my persistence in contacting her kind of brought her around to a place where we got to a point of meeting and coming for lunches and starting to go to the common ground and meeting there. And then I find out that she got saved and she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord, because I think she was somewhat more bordering on an atheism. She really didn't believe in God. I can understand where all that came from. She was very bitter, very angry for years. And so I continue to just kind of cultivate that relationship and come to find out that one of our, Tysons.
One of our mentors.
One of our mentors, the couple, Joy and Al Tyson, they came to our house one day about a month ago. They came to our house and we were sitting down talking. They hit up a married couple's ministry. And my sister's picture, her name is Yvonne, my sister Yvonne. Her picture's on our mantle in our front room. And she walked in, Joyce walks in, she goes, why is Yvonne's picture on your mantle? I said, that's my sister. She says, what? And I find out that Joyce and my sister had taught together. They're both teachers. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And we're like going, wow, what a small world.
In fact, they're best friends.
They're best friends. They work together, they socialize together, and it was just such a small world. I had no idea. But to wrap this up, it was just me seeking this relationship and pursuing it, how God brought in someone who knew my sister on a long-term basis. And I'm like, wow, Lord, you're doing something awesome, because I persisted in getting that relationship that I wanted with my sister. And her starting to slowly come around and wanting to seek me out, sending cards, sending pictures, and us corresponding. But it was something more than we had back in 1981. And I'm just thankful to God for that.
Amen. You know, it's the beauty of it is that, you know, because of this relationship with Alan Joyce Tyson, we can see that God is doing something. He's bringing her even closer and closer, incrementally. Mm-hmm. But he's given us the good thing. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, I find that most people who will seek after the things that they desire most, it's a good thing to desire good things. I believe he put the good things right where we can find them. Anybody know where that is? In your heart. In your heart. In fact, Psalms 37:4 reads, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He's just saying things to us to reassure us that he wants to give us the good thing. Okay. And in Jesus' final teaching, he states, and to come and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. As disciples of Jesus, what doors would you need to knock on? Think about it. What doors would you need to knock on? Doors of opportunity for ministry? Job opportunities? Business opportunities? Amen? Opportunities to establish ministries where all three of these things are combined. Amen? Can you imagine what the world would look like when we have businesses where there's ministry being done there, where they're praising God, and God is just pouring into it because his promise is to give us what we ask for on our jobs, to give us what we ask for in our recreation, to just give to us, okay, and our businesses, praising him, worshiping him. And he's talking about y'all. He's talking about his disciples. Every single one of us, we're learning to be disciples. That's an important step. Amen.
Amen?
It's about you. It's about me. It's about us. What are we going to do to this world? We're going to change it.
Amen.
Amen? That's what we're going to do. We're going to change it. These opportunities. You know, again, my wife began to mention a little bit about a ministry that we began to knock on, the door we began to knock on. We had no idea going back 25, 30 years ago that we would be doing some kind of marriage counseling. Amen? No idea.
Amen.
But look what God is doing. He has taken us, and dig this, he's taken us, he put us in the trials and in the tribulations and in the temptations. He took us out of them, washed us off, and set us on our way. We found ourselves sitting in our home at a table, drinking cups of tea, talking about our marriage. And when we was doing it, he was just flooding us with wisdom and understanding. He was flooding us with a new way and a new perspective for dealing with the issues that we had been dealing with. Mm-hmm. Unforgiveness, mm-hmm. adultery, all these kinds of things. And in most cases, in most marriages, what would happen? They would be gone, but not so with those that he has chosen, me and you.
Amen.
He has chosen you for good works. And so he took us and he dusted us off. And now we're doing the very thing, sharing those wisdoms and those understandings that he's poured into us with others. Amen?
Amen.
And from and the response that we're getting from many of those is they're giving us a thumbs up because they've taken some of the things that we've shared with them and they're putting them into practice. How many times, how many in here have heard that before? Put it into practice. Amen. It's about that.
Amen.
That's about that. And that's what the disciples do. They put things into practice.
One of the things I do want to mention, we had talked about that at home, is that we know that God is utilizes us as his instruments. And so a level of humility also we know that we must also always have because we're his instruments. But as we stand in that place of humility, he will continue to pour for the purpose of his glory so that his people will be enriched and his people will be built up. So we say amen to that, what amen. God's purpose is.
I'll tell you another door that I know that's being knocked on. Pastor Eva and Pastor Rockland. They go to meeting after meeting after meeting. Why? Because they have a vision to actually see these ministries combined. They're looking to do that. They go to these meetings because they're waiting for when that door presents itself, they're going to knock on it and they're going to step into it. Amen. They're just getting the information now. They're seeking the understanding. And so that when that door for them to do that very thing, I have no fear that they will stop in it and do what they do. Matter of fact, look at this church, Life Church. They knocked on the door and they stepped in. And God did what? He provided. That's why all of us are here. He's pouring into what he's established. Look at the huge door Michael and Crystal stepped into with Parkside Christian Academy. They have established all three things: ministry, jobs, opportunities, business. They've walked through that door. And look how God is using them.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen? Look at Bill and Paulia. Boston's All Night of Worship.
Amen.
Y'all tearing that door up. That door is blown down.
Amen.
Why? Because God provided. He's given you voices. He's given you creativity. He's given you what you needed, the good thing,
yes,
to minister into the lives of others. God is doing that.
Amen.
Look at the dynamic duo. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Al and Val. Amen? That dynamic duo. Knocking on the doors of drug counseling, okay? Drug and alcohol counseling. And Pastor Val, she's a pastor. Not only does she pastor, but she's involved with all kinds of different women initiatives. Knocking the doors down. Amen? Door, and God is opening every one of them for these works of ministry. Look at James and Trelane Bascom.
Mm-hmm.
Knocking on the doors and they're opening. Amen?
Amen.
Look at these two fine people here, Cameron and Sherry.
Amen.
Doing the thing, knocking on the door, stepping in. God is using you. Look at my fine sister here, Sister Eva.
Amen.
Doing her thing.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Sharing out of the abundance that she's been given. And every single one of you have the ability to do the same. And you're doing it. Don't shrink back. Because it's about the good thing.
Amen.
Amen? God has doors for many of us to walk through. Then Jesus go ahead and he summarizes his teaching with this. Let's read in Matthew 7, 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a steak? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Amen? That's just simple. He wants to give you the good thing. The good thing. You know, this scripture reminds me a little bit about a commercial. You know, Gail and I go to the movies regularly, and there's a commercial that comes out. I don't want to mention the name of the commercial, but there's a young boy, and he comes on, and he says, and he's sharing his testimony, I guess, if you will, and he says, you know, I asked my mother and father for a bike on Christmas, and that year, I didn't get the bike. I got a brother for Christmas. He said, so the next Christmas, I asked my mother and father for the bike again. He said, I didn't get a bike. I got twins. He said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, this year, I'm going to ask for another brother. Just maybe I'll get that bike. But God's not like that. That's not. He's going to give you what you ask for. Amen?
Amen.
He's not going to give you a snake if you're asking for a fish. He's going to give you what you ask for.
Amen.
Be
Amen.
Persistent in your asking. for the daily bread, for the spiritual needs. Seek and you will find. Knock and these doors will be open to you. Let's read Jeremiah 29 and 11. Because Jeremiah is going to tell us why he's doing what he's doing. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you." That's awesome. You know what we need to start doing? We need to start asking, "Daddy, show me the plan. Will you just show me the plan? I want to see it. I want to understand it. You know it. I got enough relationship with you now that you show me." Amen. And by it, his promise to you is that he will prosper you.
Yes.
Not harm you.
Amen.
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 To give you a hope and a future. Amen. Oh my God. How beautiful is that? Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Doing the work for the kingdom and being given all you need. All you need. Now, I need to mention something here. This is not a blab it, grab it type presentation.
Come on.
Amen? This is not, "I just need a Lexus, so give me a Lexus, Daddy." But if you need a car, he'll give you a car.
Yes.
If you need a job, he'll give you a job.
Yes.
He'll give you what you need. It may not be a Lexus. I don't know. Homes. We need homes for ministry, for
yes.
people to come in,
yes.
for us to be able to share with them.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
These are the things that we can ask for,
yes.
because it's about our Father's business. You hear me? It's about his business. And we need to be about his business. That's what Jesus said. Amen. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So what's the difference in all this? I believe the difference in all this is that we must first be able to identify ourselves with being a disciple. Amen?
Amen.
We need to see ourselves as disciples, not in the crowd, not somebody sitting off on the sideline.
Amen.
We need to see ourselves functioning, asking, amen, seeking opportunities to share God's goodness, knocking on doors, receiving the opportunities that God has for you. Matter of fact, I'll just share you. I don't know if you all know, but I was on a critical incident stress team going back a few years and subsequently fell away from that. With this new thing that God is doing in my life, sister called me on our way to church. She said to me, "Listen, we want you to come back. We want you to come back onto the critical incident stress management team. That's a place for me to do some ministry."
Amen.
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 Amen. Helping those that have been in hard incidents where depressions may sit in. Mm-hmm. And I can share them that God wants something better for you.
Yes.
Amen. I can
yes.
share that.
Yes.
Our God is good.
Yes, he
and
is.
He knows what he's doing. I had no idea this sister was going to call me. She called me. Did you get the email? They sent an email. I didn't see it. Well, but I do get a phone call. I like the phone call. I need to hear something. Amen? But that's all right. Ultimately, understand this so that you know, okay? We've given our life. We're going to give our life to practicing and teaching others to follow Jesus. And we now recognize, understand that God will provide. You need to know that. What does that mean? That means seeking the good things of life, doing the good things. That's all it means. It's not about, not something you should be afraid of. We shouldn't be afraid of giving our lives over Amen. To God Amen. For work. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
So recalibrate your thinking. Recalibrate it. Think of something good. Follow the good thing. Do the good thing. Speak the good thing. Because he's filling us with it. He's pouring it into us. Now, the title of this message is Our Father Provides Good Gifts. Amen? Why? What's the new part, the new understanding? It's because I have plans for you. He's got plans for us. Every single one of us. He's got plans for you, Wendy. He's got plans for you. What's your, I can't remember. Corey?
Yes.
Yvonne? He's got plans.
Yes.
Mom? He's got plans. Yes. He's got plans for all of us.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
He's got plans. And they're good plans.
Yes.
Yes. Amen?
Yes.
They're good plans.
Yes, they are.
They're good plans. You know, talking about a purpose, you know, I thought about what would be the purpose, but I recognized that I couldn't say it better than Peter. Peter said this in 2 Peter 1:3-8. And he's talking about confirming one's calling and election, making it a sure thing.
Yes.
Now dig what he said. He said, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises.
Yes.
All you got to do is ask, seek it now. Those are the promises. So that through them you may participate in what? His divine nature. That's what He's given us.
Mm-hmm.
His nature.
Yes.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
His nature.
Yes.
I don't think y'all heard me. It's His nature.
Hallelujah.
It's God's nature. Come on, it's God's nature.
Yes.
The very living God
yes.
that we believe in, the very living
yes.
God that we have faith in, He wants to share us with His good nature, His divine nature. How powerful is that?
Amen, amen, amen.
That's a powerful understanding.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the good thing. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. All that unforgiveness, all that temptation. He wants us to escape it because we can't escape it with our nature.
Yes.
We need His nature.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Need His nature. We need His nature. And He's given it to us. Here's what He says. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Make every effort to seek for these things, this litany I'm about to go through. Make every effort to knock on doors of opportunity to do these things. Ask me constantly, persistently, for your daily bread, your daily needs. Persistently for your spiritual needs, forgiveness, gentleness, kindness,
yes.
self-control,
yes.
faith. Ask me for these things. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. We got work to do. We got family members we need to go see and say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We need to find family members. And when we get with them, here's what you do. Before you open up your mouth, ask them, can we pray together? Because the Bible tells us, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. And then when you get there, ask them for reconciliation with that person. Ask them for a new understanding. Ask him for these things. He's promising he'll give them to you. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Desire to be effective. Desire to be productive.
Yes.
Amen. Desire these things. Why? Because they don't rot nor rust.
Yes.
Store them up. Amen. Put it in your heart.
Amen.
Don't let it go. Keep it. It's a treasure.
Yes.
It's a treasure. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's teaching us how. He's taught about adultery. He's taught us about lying. He's taught us about prayer. He's taught us about these things on the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, I want you to recognize, is Jesus' beginning of his ministry.
Amen.
There's so much in there for us to grab out of it. It's about shaping us and molding us, getting us prepared.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna help us to get rid of that lustful eye. He's gonna help us to get rid of the need to have to lie. He wants to give us these things. He may put us in some things to challenge us to see if we really got the strength, but that's okay. Because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And that perseverance has got to finish his work. Why? So that you know you got it. So that you understand that you have received. Because if you ask, you must receive. So when we receive it, we get the chance to use it, demonstrate it, live it out. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. He wants to give us the good thing, amen?
Amen.
And we need to be ready for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for being our Abba Father.
Yes.
We say now that we look at our lives, even from our past to our present. We see you shaping and molding us, taking us through and bringing us out, dusting us off, and setting our feet on a new ground. On a good ground,
yes.
On a fertile ground. You've taken our tongues and taught us how to speak life. You've taken our mind and you've taught us how to think about the good thing. You place us in places where we can demonstrate your divine nature. Yes, Lord, we asked you. And Lord, we now open our hearts to receive all you desire to give us. And the reason why we pray this is because you came here in Christ Jesus and you showed us how. Thank you, Father, for what you have done.
Thank you, Lord.
Providing us the good thing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' teaching, we pray and we say, and we all say together, Amen.
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 You are worthy of Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Bill and Gail. Docs, I'm crying because some of these scriptures brought to light a lot of things. And it's always a challenge as a child of God to actually believe the scriptures. You know, we can read them and we can get inspired by them, but when we actually believe them, our lives will be reflecting those scriptures. And, you know, as you were talking, Jeremiah 29:11 is one with the kids in their uniforms. We put on the back of their uniforms because one is so powerful. Secondly, we really wanted them to believe it. It was 18 years between the time that I know the passion for education to have our own school. It was 18 years between the time that was put on our hearts and the time that we actually saw it come to reality. And sometimes we're thinking, when we're asking, oh God, give me this big ministry, but sometimes the ministry is just sending somebody a card, is not feeling well, or going over to the neighbor's house and spending time with someone who doesn't have anyone. We had the pleasure last night to reconnect with one of our students we used to teach. And I remember I was in admissions at the time, and she was from California, poor neighborhood in California. Her grades were AB. Her scores weren't that great on the standardized test. The admissions committee had a really hard time wanting to accept her. She didn't have any money. This is a $20,000 to $30,000 a year school at the time. But when I talked with her, I saw her passion for the Lord, and I saw what she was already doing. I said, this girl is going to turn this school upside down. She's going to turn this world around. They couldn't see it, and it was a hard fight to get them to take her. And so she was back here 15, 16 years later with her own daughter that she was going to send to the school, this same school that now costs $40,000 a year to go to. But, you know, she went in the presence of Janet Reno during her time there at the school. She was the head prefect, which is the number one spot a student can be at the school. She went on to become a law professor. She started her own civil rights organization. And, you know, as we were talking to her and having dinner with her last night, I was like, what a testimony your life is. Because God's hand was upon your life. And sometimes we can see just the outside or try to predict what God is doing. And sometimes we just don't see what God is doing. It doesn't look like we think it should look like. And I was so proud of her and so proud to see her coming back to the institution that told her she wasn't going to be that great, to not only shine with the outside stuff, but with the inside stuff, the spiritual stuff. And she just spoke into to Michael and our lives as well that night. It was amazing. It was just an amazing experience. So I thank you for the word. That transforms. And God is so good.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.